Two balls and two strikes on him. Here's the pitch on the way. A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
How are you doing, guys? Welcome to episode 6 of Touch 'Em All, a baseball analytics podcast. This is the official podcast of TouchEmAllAnalytics.com. I am your host. My name is Caleb Whittemore. I'm also the founder of Touch 'Em All Analytics. I'm sorry. I know it's been a long time since I came out with an episode. We're going to go over that in a second. But first, just overall, what we're going to go over on this podcast. First, like I said, we're going to go over why I haven't been putting out podcasts, my new job, and you know why it's going to change, and I'm going to start putting out more stuff. Then we're going to go over Steamer projections, the MLB's most successful front offices by some calculations I'm doing, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Touch 'Em All prospect scouting. So some pretty exciting stuff coming forward here. So first off, like I said, I know, you know, the elephant in the room. I've been gone for a few months without recording. Definitely not the way I planned. But I want to kind of explain to you guys a little bit of inside baseball and why that had to happen and why it shouldn't happen going forward. In September, I finished up my internship with the Portland Sea Dogs, just the minor league AA affiliate for the Red Sox. And I also finished up a position scouting for Sox Prospects LLC, like I mentioned before. Those were both summer jobs that I did this year. So I was kind of finishing up that phase of my life, and the next phase is going into the more advanced internships in the baseball world. That ended with my new job, which I'll go over in a minute. But essentially what I was doing for most of the time was interviewing with MLB teams. I spoke to 10 to 15 MLB teams during this time, had, you know, final interviews with 6 or 7 teams. And essentially, because of how private things in the MLB community are and inside organizations, I didn't feel it was appropriate to be recording, publishing things while I'm being considered for these positions. Fortunately, the position I have taken is going to let me do these kind of things. So I ended up taking a position, not with a team, but with a company called Baseball Info Solutions, where I'm going to be a scout there, a video scout, with them doing a lot of player analysis work, doing some scouting, along with assisting in the creation of the Bill James Handbook and some other tasks. You know, that's as much as I can say as of now. Depending on how things work out, I may do an episode kind of explaining more of what they do, possibly even have an interview, a guest on, to talk about Baseball Info Solutions. But for now, the simple answer is that I'm going to be doing some scouting for them. And the nice thing is, because it's not an MLB team, I have cleared it with them, and they have given me permission to continue on with the podcasting. I'm going to start writing some more articles. Hopefully, I'm going to have an article out in actually the next day or two. So definitely check on that as well. But yeah, like I said, again, I'm sorry it took a little bit. Hopefully, that won't happen again. But we're going to start trying to put out a lot of podcasts now to make up for lost time. So secondly, I want to talk about something called Steamer projections. I don't think Steamer is all that well-known resource in the baseball community, but I think it's very important, especially for you fantasy players out there. I know a lot of people play the daily fantasy, and especially the season-long fantasy. Steamer can be very helpful for you. So essentially, Steamer is a project that began back in 2008 in Brooklyn, actually, by a former high school teacher and some of his students. And essentially, they run algorithms, taking past performances along with a lot of other factors, and they project the statistics for a player for the next season. So I want to go over some of the Steamer projections here while we're kind of in some dead time in the off season. I'm going to do the top at each position, and I might throw in a couple other notables at the positions as well. So to start out at catcher, number one by WAR is predicted to be Buster Posey. Secondarily is going to be JT Realmuto. That's at 4.4 for Posey and 3.7 WAR for Real Muto. Personally, I would guess against that, I would guess Real Muto will be the most productive. Posey is also number one in WRC plus for catchers. Sanchez is number two. He's a great bat, not a great defender. Real Muto is fourth at a 109 WRC plus. For first base, number one first baseman is projected to be Anthony Rizzo at 4.3 WAR. He is edging out Freddie Freeman and Paul Goldschmidt by just a fraction there. So he is expected to be the number one first baseman. Cody Bellinger is also there at the top with Matt Carpenter, Joey Votto, and Joey Gallo. It's interesting they have Gallo here written as a first baseman. Second base by wins above replacement is going to be Altuve. I don't think that surprises anybody, to be quite frank. Interestingly enough, second on the list, though it is by a complete win, second on the list is Ozzy Albies. Javi Baez, who I would have suspected would have been second, is actually fourth. He's behind Robbie Cano as well, who I think is going to be quite a productive player. 4.6 WAR, though, for Jose Altuve. That seems a little light for me. That is what they're predicting for this following year, though. I would guess he'd be like a 7-win player next year, personally. I just think he's going to have a good season. At shortstop, Francisco Lindor with a 6.7 WAR. He's going to be number one, followed by Corey Seager coming off the injury. It's interesting they have him so high up when he's coming off an injury. All signs point to him being healthy, though. He's coming in at second with a 5.7 WAR. He's got a 129 WRC+, projected to hit 24 home runs. That's the other interesting thing with Steamer, as we're kind of chatting about this, is it breaks down every stat. So you can look at everything from the classic batting average, their plate appearances, games played, doubles, triples, home runs, RBIs, walks, strikeouts, on-base percentage, OPS, weighted runs created, WAR like we're talking about. It has it all. So moving forward to third base, Jose Ramirez is actually tied with Chris Bryant at 5.8 wins above replacement. Anthony Rendon and Alex Bregman, along with Manny Machado, are in that next tier. Machado is actually listed under short and third because he may play either. Right field, a guy near and dear to my heart, Mookie Betts, 7.2 WAR. He is pretty far above. He's actually 2.3 wins above any other right fielder, with Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge kind of right in the secondary mix. It's interesting to me that they're both there, considering they could end up on the same team. You know, considering Harper hasn't signed yet, it's not sure where he's going to go. In center field, again, not a real surpriser there. It is Mike Trout with 9.3 WAR. He's four wins above second at Yelich. Yelich coming off an MVP year. They don't anticipate him, clearly, to have that kind of a season again. Still a great player. Still going to be an all-star, all that jazz, but not quite the player he was this year. In left field, number one player is, surprisingly, Juan Soto. They also have Christian Yelich listed at both positions. So depending if he plays left, he could take it over. But if not, looks like Juan Soto is going to be the number one left fielder, according to Steamer, in their WAR projections. So now we're going to look at pitchers overall. I'm going to go over a few pitchers because it's just one category for all of them. And I think it's an interesting one to look at. So, number one WAR with a projected of 202 innings pitched and strikeouts per nine of 12.25, an ERA of 2.7, FIP of 2.6 is going to be Chris Sale at number one. A whole win below, actually, at number two, with a FIP of 2.8. Strikeouts per nine at just under 11 is going to be Jacob DeGrom. Third is going to be Max Scherzer. At fourth, Justin Verlander. Corey Kluber at fifth, followed after by Severino, Cole, and Nola. So some great players. Definitely I would suggest going and checking out Steamer projections. My personal opinion, the easiest way to get them is to just go look at Fangraphs, Steamer projections. They also do team by team. We may look at those closer to the season. It'll predict how good a team each team is going to be, and you can essentially predict World Series winners or at least division winners just by those Steamer projections, which I think is pretty interesting. Now that we've got that out of the way, I want to talk about algorithm that I created recently. Having come up with a complete name, I'm actually in the process of writing an article on it right now that should be out in a day or two. But essentially, this breaks down the most successful front office, I would say, or at least the most economic teams. Personally, the way I think about baseball, I think that's what makes them most successful. I like to look at how much they pay per win. So originally when I did this, I just did very simply, I took the teams, took their payroll, took their wins, and then just divided payroll by wins to see how much they're paying a win. I submitted that to some people I know in the industry. I actually, you know, put it on a Facebook group I'm involved in as well, got some feedback there. And what a lot of people said was, you know, this is great, but the one problem with it originally is your 50th win or your 60th win, 70th win, 80th win even, just don't matter as much as those higher wins, and they're not as hard to get. So I looked at teams' total wins, including the playoffs, because World Series, championships, playoff wins matter. So I added their playoff wins in. So the Red Sox are at 119 with their crazy season plus their World Series win. And then I looked at how many wins it took to make the playoffs this year. That was 90. So I took their wins, and then I took every win they had over 90, and I added 25%. So there's an extra 25% damage, you could say, on all wins above 90. And then I called that win points, essentially, and I divided that by player wins. So essentially, it's how much you pay per win, except wins past what gets you in the playoffs are 25% more than just regular wins, if that makes sense. So I'm just going to go through the list. I'll point out a couple things as we go. We're going to go from the worst to the best. So number 30, the worst team in baseball, I bet a lot of you have already guessed it, is the Baltimore Orioles. They had 47 wins, but they were very far from that 90. So the win points, they only had 36 wins. So they paid per win point just over $3.5 million. Now, when you're paying $127 million payroll and you're only winning 47 games, you're not good. Plain and simple. 29 on the list is the Giants at $2.9 million per win point. Kansas City at 28 on the list, $2.5 million. Texas is going to be at number 27 with $2.3 million per win point. Detroit is going to be at 26 with $2.3 million. Nationals at the 25th, at 24, the Angels, 23, the Blue Jays, 22, the Mets, 21, the Cubs, 20th is going to be the Dodgers, 19th, the Cardinals, 18, Seattle Mariners. We're going to stop at 17 for a minute. It's actually the Boston Red Sox are going to be 17th. They're actually my inspiration for making this. I was actually talking to some family around Christmas time. All my family are Red Sox fans. I would say I generally root for the Red Sox. I wouldn't really call myself a fan, per se. I love baseball. I'm kind of at a point in my life where I don't really root for a team as I'm, you know, looking for jobs with different teams or what have you. Kind of a mercenary when it comes to my MLB fandom at this point. So, you know, I was talking to them about how they won. That's great. I just don't see them that successful because of their giant payroll. So even when you take into account that they won 119 total games, even if you make some sort of exponential increase for the games that matter more over 90 to give them 126 win points, they're still paying $1.8 million per win. Okay? It's not awful, but it's middle of the pack. Even with the amount of games they won, when you have guys on the books like Pablo Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez, who are not playing, along with a guy like Dustin Pedroia, who's getting around $15 million a year to be on the DL, most teams couldn't survive that. You know, the average salary, if you had those three guys, your team would be finished. But the Red Sox have huge pockets, and I think this shows it. All right, so moving forward, at 16th, we have the Diamondbacks. 15, the Yankees, which is surprising to me. 14, the Padres, with 66 wins. 13, the Reds. 12, the Marlins. That was a really surprising one to me. They did better than I thought this year. You know, with 63 wins, win points hurts them because they are below 90, so it takes away parts of their wins, so they only have 56.25 win points. but they still come out to $1.6 million per win. So they're not winning right now. They're obviously rebuilding, but they're being smart with their money, in my opinion. Moving forward, at 11, the Rockies. 10, the Indians. 9, the Twins. 8, the Astros. 7, the Braves. 6, the Phillies. That's going to go up this year if they sign Harper or Machado. 5, the White Sox. 4, the Pirates. 3, the Brewers. And then the two teams who I think were the smartest, they're very close to one another, were the Athletics and the Rays. At 2, the Athletics, and 1, the Rays. So the Athletics paid $800,000 a win, and the Rays paid $750,000 per win point. That's great. That's the dream. I think the Rays are an incredibly well-run organization who got screwed over this year because they play in a division with two of the biggest pockets in baseball. That's the game. That's how it's going to be. That's what happens when you are in a league that doesn't have a salary cap. I'm not saying it should. You know, I think it's great the way it's run, but, you know, that's just the reality of it. You're going to get, you know, screwed over like that sometimes. Regardless, I don't think they should change a thing with their philosophy. The opener, I think, is going to be a big hit, and this metric shows it. They're going in the right direction for sure. So the last topic I want to touch on today is something new. I'm calling it Touch 'Em All Prospect Scouting. So as any of you who've been listening to the podcast or, you know me or have checked out the website know, I spent the summer, like I said, with a company called Sox Prospects LLC. I really enjoy scouting. It's one of the areas of the field that really intrigue me and I think I want to get into long term. Obviously, my internship this year is in the scouting field with Baseball Info Solutions. So all in all, this is just a passion of mine. So I decided to set up an area of the website devoted to scouting, just looking at scouting prospects only. And I want it to be something where there's going to be tons of top 100 guys. I'm obviously going to be doing scouting for my work, hopefully seeing guys that way. But also, I'm going to be living in the Pennsylvania area, right around 4 or 5 minor league stadiums. So I'm going to try to save up, you know, the money I have. It's intern pay, not great, obviously. But I'm going to try to save up that extra money I have to go to baseball games, minor league games. Plan that around seeing the top guys. Try to get scouting reports on as many players as I can in there. For now, it's just sorted alphabetically. We'll see if we can make that a little better. But as of right now, because of my work with Sox Prospects, I just wrote up some of the guys I saw a lot with Sox Prospects. Actually, some of the information on here is what MLB teams saw that landed me interviews, that kind of stuff. So if you want to check it out for that reason, be my guest. If you just go to the website, touchemallanalytics.com, there's an area right on the front tab that says Touch 'Em All Prospect Scouting. You can see all of the 17 or so players that are on there right now. But definitely going to be increasing. I do want to talk about one player today. I'm going to try to, every time I add players, talk about them on the next podcast. But, you know, the Red Sox system is pretty depleted. There's not a lot to talk about. So I'm just going to take one player that I've already uploaded. His name is Durbin Feltman. Feltman was a third-round draft pick of the Red Sox this year. He is a reliever. Only he was drafted as a reliever. That's why he fell to the third round, if we're going to be honest. Great stuff, but most guys are starters in college, so that hurt him a little bit. But over three teams this year, between low A Lowell, A Greenville, and high A Salem, he posted a 1.3 ERA, 13.9 strikeouts per nine, and a 7.2 strikeout to walk ratio. He just dominated. One of the outings where I saw him, nobody made contact on him. It was, I believe he threw 11 pitches, very close to an immaculate inning. He just dominated the low levels. I believe he has a solid chance of being up this year. So we're just going to go over my projections. If you don't know what the 20 to 80 scale is, I would suggest you go back and listen to that podcast. I'm going to refer to the 20 to 80 scale in his grades. So he's a righty-righty guy, 190 pounds, 5'11". I saw him when he was in low A, and this is kind of a short write-up that I saw that I wrote on him. He's by far the best relief prospect in the Red Sox system. His fastball sits 94 to 96 with late movement. Slider is 86-87 with wipeout movement. Changeup sits 81-82 It's more of a work in progress pitch as of now, but could be a solid pitch. He dominated the level. I saw, like I said, low A, and was called up almost immediately after I saw him there. My only concern with him is his throwing mechanics. He throws extremely high effort in his over-the-top arm slot, and it could lead to injuries. So that's the only thing I would say. For his scouting grades, I'm just going to go over his future grades, not his present ones. So his control I have is just an average at a 50. Makeup's average from what I've seen. He has plus-plus 70 grades fastball. Like I said, fast. Rumors that it's hit 100. I haven't seen it hit 100, so I didn't mark it there, but it's rumored that way. Plus slider at a 60 grade, and an average changeup, like I said, could be a solid pitch for him. So all in all, I project him to be a solid closer. I think he could be a seventh inning guy later on this season for them, maybe even a setup guy depending on where the chips fall with a guy like Craig Kimbrel, but going to be a good player as long as he can stay away from injuries. So that's going to pretty much wrap it up today. Just a little bit of housekeeping before I sign off. If you like this, please make sure to tell a friend, leave a review, and subscribe. I know I'm sorry I haven't been publishing episodes as often as I would like, but I am going to try to get back to doing as many as I can here now that I have clearance. Thank you again to Baseball Info Solutions, actually renamed Sport Info Solutions, for allowing me to continue on in this journey in this podcast while working with them. Please make sure to follow us. I have gotten rid of our Twitter and our Instagram, but you can check out our website. It is www.touchemallanalytics.com. That's spelled touchemallanalytics.com. You can check out our Facebook. It is just touchemallanalytics, at touchemallanalytics, spelled the same way as the website. You can follow me on Twitter. I mostly tweet about baseball. I'll always tweet when there's a new article or a podcast. It's C_J_Whittemore. That's spelled Whittemore. And I'll put all those links in the show page as well. Additionally, please contact me with questions. You can DM me on Twitter, tweet at me, post something on the Facebook page. There's a little contact section at the bottom of the home screen on our website, or you can email us at touchemallanalytics@gmail.com. I will always answer you, I promise. And I'm going to try to share as many of the questions as I can on the podcast. So if we get any good baseball related questions, I'd love to share them on the podcast as well as answer you directly. So that's going to do it for now. Hoping to get another podcast out within a week, like I said. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.
A swing and a belt, left field, way back, touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.